Happy to cooperate with Calling and Vocation Month, and this year they have asked one of our own, Professor Esther Meek, to come and speak to us. Would you welcome Esther Meek, please?
Hi there. Thank you so much for coming today. It's such an honor to have this time with you. And I'm also thankful to the Career Services Office for asking me to share this time with you. Please note there's some very cool-looking event tonight called Fondue Theater with Covenant Players. You might check into that. Looks like a fun event, and it'd be good for you to get to know what the Covenant Players are doing. Well, so I want to talk to you today about signatures. That's my title, and you'll see why it's got that title as we go along. The front of your program is blank for you to doodle, but please don't doodle until we get to that point in the talk, because you need the space for what I would like you to do. You and I are about the same distance from the time when we used to doodle in church, and I kind of miss it, so I want to give you the chance to do it today, as I did the last time I talked. Well, you know, I've got this assignment of talking to you about calling, but at Geneva, we talk about calling all the time. So it's kind of a challenge to say something unique and helpful, but I love those sorts of challenges, so I hope I can do that today. Why do we talk about calling at Geneva all the time? Well, one thing is it has to do with your age. You're at the age to talk about calling. You're growing into adulthood and deciding about your future. You're planning for it. You're preparing for it. It's a great time to talk about calling. The rest of your life, people aren't going to talk to you about calling quite as much as they do right now. Another thing is Geneva's the place for it. You know, this is what we do. We help people train for their calling. So it's right and good that we talk about calling a lot here at Geneva. Also at Geneva, we say all work matters, okay? So it's really, really important, whatever the task is, whatever the job is that you have for in the future, that matters. And so it's important to talk about calling. Another thing is you matter, okay? You have dignity and value created and redeemed by God, and precious to him. And so again, it's right and good to talk about calling. Last point here in just kind of why we talk about this so much at Geneva is, you know what, God is at work. And we want to be part of that, and what's more, he graces us with the privilege to be part of that. So that's why we talk about it a lot. So what can I possibly say today that would add to our discussion about calling? Well, I want to do two things today. I have 2 points. One is kind of a helpful distinction, and the other, I hope, is a helpful realization that has to do with my challenge, my invitation to you to celebrate the artistry of your signature, or of what you and who you are distinctly and uniquely, and that I think that is important to God. So I am also aware of the fact, because my office is right next to Dr. Smith's, that I have to say something about a respectable sin to put it in line with everything else that's been being done in chapel this semester. So here's the respectable sin: overdoing special revelation and underdoing general revelation. Okay, so let's see what I mean by that. I think it's a respectable sin because it's often done because it's out of zeal, it's well-intended. It may be that we're kind of in need of a little bit of thought that I want to give today to the distinctions between those two. Special revelation is a fancy word for scripture. Okay, the verbal revelation of God. General revelation is a fancy word for everything else that he made, okay? And the point is that everything else he made reveals him too, and it's not less. What it isn't is verbal. It's a different kind, okay? But we can be so ready to exalt scripture, and that's right and good, that we overdo it, okay? And when we overdo it, it can be something like adding to scripture, and that's not good. It can be binding someone's conscience, and that's not good either, okay? So what I want to look at today is how we can treat with integrity God's general revelation as well. Scripture, you know, we say as part of kind of our doctrinal commitment is sufficient. But I would like to suggest that we need to distinguish between Scripture being sufficient and Scripture being comprehensive. It isn't all there is to life, okay? It is both sufficient and there's more. You need to make a distinction. Sufficiency means it's all you need, okay? But it doesn't mean it's all there is, okay? So God made both, and we need to work with them together in a way that's responsible, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's look again at Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, that was my assigned text, but right away when I heard that, I thought of Paul Marshall saying in, I think the book is called Heaven Is Not My Home, that that is Scripture saying there's more to life than Scripture. Okay, so I get that idea from him. Let's look at this. And now it's time for you to doodle. So take a pencil, if you would, especially if it has an eraser, because there's a part you're going to have to erase later, and make a stick figure of you on a path holding a lamp, okay? So kind of like that. I am so proud of my doodle. Some student showed me how to use paint, but you know what? Drawing on paint and making a straight line is really a challenge when you're left-handed, but you use your right hand on the mouse, and well, never mind. Anyway, this is the best I could do, and I'm really, really proud of it. So you do something like that right now in the box on the front of your program, and then you see you're set up to label it. So right up there by the lantern, write, well, I got thy word or your word, okay? That's what the passage is saying. Your word is a lamp. So up there by the lamp, put your word, okay? Down by the feet on the stick figure, put my feet, okay? And then over somewhere to the right, put my path. So you see, then you have diagrammed the verse. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, and we're ready to go with that. So obviously, what's the word? Well, it's what God says, okay? What are your feet? Well, it kind of stands for who you are, where you are, okay? Who you are. Who you are, what you are unfolding, becoming. It's about you. The feet part. The path part, that's where you are. Your setting, your situation, where you are. Okay? Now, at seminary, I studied with John Frame, who taught me to see triads places. So I see a triad here. Okay? So thank John Frame for that. There's three dimensions indicated in this passage. Okay? He calls these, well, let me not say what that is, but these three dimensions are kind of interlocking. You never have the one as over against the other. They always interface with each other. But it's helpful to make the distinction between those three and see that all three of those are operative in this situation, as in lots of situations. I actually think you could probably do the history of philosophy on Frame's triad. So it's a very useful concept. In any case, what we've got is these three intersecting and shaping each other. You never have one as over against the other, but they're all there, okay? And they don't each work in the same way. They work in different ways together. And here's the point. The point is, you shouldn't overemphasize one to the exclusion of the other, okay? That's the point. That's why it's helpful to see that there's this triad there. So I would like to suggest that discerning calling involves determining the intersection of three things. What God says, who you are, which is what I'm going to come to refer to as your signature, and where you are. And so I invented this word. I know it's a word, but I'm kind of appropriating it on purpose, triangulating, okay? So in other words, working the triad to see and discern those three things as they interface and intersect to discern calling, discern what the step is, the next step for you on your path and your journey, okay? Now, here's the thing I want you to see. Typically, when we think about the word, we tend to think about seeing how it applies to me and how it applies to this situation as if I or me, you, is kind of passive, and so is the situation, and the word just tells us what to do, okay? And I would like to suggest that that's what I mean by overdoing special revelation and underdoing something else equally as revealing of God, and that is general revelation, all right? Take, for example, just to start to try this out, think right now of a favorite verse of yours that you take to be a guiding verse, okay? Just think about it in your head, all right? Now, here's a very helpful question I always associate with Dr. David Guthrie, and see that you typically ask this question, and this is the right and good question to ask. What does that look like? Okay, guiding verse. Now, what does that look like? What does it look like for me? What does it look like for me here and now? Do you hear the triad? So typically we do this sort of thing. It's just that maybe we haven't been aware that that is what we're doing and that this is right and good to do in a way that treats with integrity both you and the world, both of which fall in the area of general revelation, okay? All right, just another example here. Let's talk about Ezra and Nehemiah, just to make my point. Ezra and Nehemiah are dudes from the 500s BC, okay? They each have a book in the Bible about them, as does Esther, which I'm very proud of. Okay, but I'm not gonna talk about her right here. I might later if I have a chance, but anyway, here's the interesting thing to see. These guys are given the same command. They have the same path, but they have a different signature, and it leads to a different action. Okay? Now, the path is the path back from Babylon to Israel. These guys are in exile with Israel. Who has been taken captive by Babylon around the 500s BC, okay? God commands both of them to return to Israel, okay? Anybody going back to Israel from Babylon is going to follow the Fertile Crescent, the major trade routes there, okay? So same path, same command. They do two different things. Let's see that. In Ezra the priest writes this. I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to protect us from enemies on the road because we had told the king, the gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him. Okay? Now, Nehemiah was not a priest. He was a civil servant in Babylon, works for the king. Here's what he writes. I also said to the king, if it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me with safe conduct until I arrive at Judah? The king had also sent army officers and cavalry with me. Do you see? For Ezra, the priest, it's kind of a point of principle that he and the people that he leads back do not accept the king's protection, the cops, the police escort. For Nehemiah, he's a civil servant, it's a no-brainer that he does. He doesn't even think about that. That's just how you do it. Same path, same command, different signature, different persons that they are, things that they do, and it comes to expression in different action. That's a very helpful thing to see when you might be tempted to over-apply scripture Oh, to your roommate. Okay, not a good idea. All right, in other words, don't overgeneralize what might be the case from one person to the next in the name of well-intended application of Scripture. All right, now I'm ready to tell you my favorite example that I've come up with to kind of make the point today. Now, do you remember back in first grade you learned penmanship? Do you remember, like me, you know, hours of filling pages with lines with the same letter, and then the wicked teacher comes along and fixes them, okay, so makes them all, you're supposed to make them all perfect and they all look alike, right? I remember in sixth grade, the principal was walking around, you know, and we're doing our penmanship, and I'm left-handed, and I have been told to hold the paper the right-handed way, so I'm there doing, you know, this right-handed paper holding, and that man, and I'm just like a sixth grader, he puts his big fat hand down on my paper and turns it. Okay, think about the power at that point. You know, what can I do? I looked at him and I said, I can't do that. I can't do that. However, the point is there was this regimented way that we were taught to do penmanship. Now, just write your signature at the bottom of the page, right? Just write your signature. Now look at your neighbor's signature. Do you guys have the same penmanship? Now here's the amazing thing to me. Do you know that the cops or the FBI depend on the uniqueness of your signature and your handwriting to figure out the truth? Isn't that amazing? I just think that's so amazing. What does that say? What is it about your signature? Well, you have a distinctive signature, okay? Your distinctiveness, you ready for this, is undeterrable. That means you can't, like, deter it. I guess that's a word, okay? It's unstoppable. It just, like, comes out. It comes out, and that it's meant to come out, you know, for the sake of the cops, but also for the sake of, you know, the glory of God, I hope. That's the point right now, okay? So now, go back to your doodle, erase the vertical trunk or torso, and instead write in your signature. Okay? Now, this is where I really got in trouble trying to do it on paint, okay? But I did the best I could. So you can get an idea of what I have in mind. What, to make the point that the you part of the triad is meant to be unique. And here's the thesis of the talk, so hear me. There is about you an artistry that the boundaries are meant to unleash. Okay? The boundaries are meant to unleash your artistry. You learn the penmanship, but then you develop your signature. I think we can start to work with that as a motif for treating with integrity what God is doing and unfolding in your life and how He's made you, how He's already made you. That undeterrable, unique distinctiveness about you that maybe your roommate can see better than you can, and maybe you could help each other with this to see it, and then start to go to the bank on it. Start to treat it with integrity. Okay? That's the point of this talk today. This signature, this distinctiveness of about you, it's going to come out, so you might as well play to your strength. And in fact, that's what God wants you to do. And it's got themes about it. There's themes that you can pay attention to as you look back over your life and as you anticipate and look into the future. And you need to see that that signature that is you is one that God also is writing. Okay? Ephesians 2:10, we are God's work of art. Okay? That's kind of what I want to say today. It's kind of like the center of what I want to say. Your signature, the unique thing about you, you need to identify it. You need to embrace it. You need to cultivate it. You need to celebrate it. And you need to live artfully. Live artfully. And it's part of discerning calling. Okay, real quick, going back over discerning calling with regard to path and word, path, and signature, very quick about the word, okay? What you want to do with the word, the verbal word, is indwell it. You want to indwell the biblical story so it becomes that which shapes as lenses the way that you see yourself in the world. Okay, indwelling the biblical story, that is the top end of the triad. Secondly, the path. Ask yourself questions about your situation that involve listening to your situation to hear what God is doing instead of just imposing verbal scripture on it. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not that you want to deny it. It's that you want to treat with integrity what God is doing in your situation too. And I did stick the word up here, carpe diem, and that's the Queen Esther verse, okay? For who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Sometimes in your situation there comes a moment that you need to seize, all right? So that's part of interpreting the situation. But thirdly, looking at your signature, all right? Lots of things that you could put here. Assets, obligations, things you're born with, the things that accrue to you over life, your personality, your passions, your propensities, defining experience as good and bad, okay? Don't ever see that the brokennesses of your life somehow disqualify you from being God's work of art. Somehow, and it's not that evil is good, it's that God is sovereign. He takes these brokennesses and weaves them into your story artfully so that your story, your signature, is that much more beautiful. Look for certain special shaping redemptive moments in your story. That's part of your signature. This is the unique revelation of God in your life. That's what you're looking at as you're discerning this part, this contribution to the question of calling. So finally, let me just say, you know what triangulating, okay, can be seen as kind of a way of doing calling all through your life. Guess what? Every day of your life, you will be discerning calling, okay? That's just kind of how we live. So we live by kind of working these angles and triangulating. And I trust that today that you're able to leave with a new sense of the value and the uniqueness of your signature so that you can kind of cultivate that and celebrate that and live artfully. So I would like to close, if I may, by praying for you. You are dear to me and obviously very dear to God, and so I want briefly to pray for you. Lord, each one of these students, I know, is an unfolding work of art in which you have a stake, but more comprehensively deep, deep love. I pray that this talk might lead them to see and to cherish and value the distinctiveness with which you have made them, and that they might see their way to unleashing that as a way of treating with integrity what you are doing. Give us eyes to see you at work and in who we are and in our situation for the sake of the spread of your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Let's close by singing Psalm 46 as we still our hearts to listen to God's word as he reveals to us the path that he sets before us. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Go with God.